Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, ladies. I'm back, and I'm back with one of my favorite guests, my friend Priyanka, and she was here last week. And if you didn't hear that episode, please go and listen to that episode. We talked about intuitive eating, living, and being. And today we're going to continue the conversation. I'm going to let her introduce herself real quick, but we're going to stick to culture and food. So Priyanka, can you introduce yourself again, please?
Absolutely. I'm Priyanka Venugopal. I'm a board certified OBGYN and a mind and body health coach for high achieving working moms. And I think that last week we had so much fun talking about so many things that impact women, especially women. And I think, you know, it's always so fun to think about how culture and what culture you're from plays a role in our relationship with food, our relationship with our body, and I think really hitting any goal. So I'm so excited to be here and to talk about all of these amazing fun things with you.
It's going to be so fun. So Priyanka and I are both South Asian, we're both Indian, but even being from the same country, we still have different stories to tell. Like there's the concept of wellness and food and health and image. Okay, also, we're probably very specific to our families and pretty generalized. And we can say, yes, that's here too. We did have that same belief. So I think it would be really fun for you guys to think about how this shows up for you in your families, in your communities, where you're from. And definitely we'd love to hear from you guys, but we're going to talk a little bit about like the role food plays in our families and especially when it comes to like emotions. So Priyanka and I were chatting before we started. So Priyanka, you want to share a little bit about how grandma had her thoughts about food?
You know, I think what it was, and I think we, you know, I would have like, this is just such an important conversation. I have so many memories growing up with my parents. Again, I'm from North India. That's where I grew up, and I'm married to someone that's South Indian. So by the way, that could be its own
episode.
Conversation. But I really grew up learning a message from my family that food was very important. And they didn't ever say it in those words. It was just the messaging that I received around family meals and an opportunity to connect with other people through cultural, either, whether it's a cultural event or even just like a family dinner, how food was a very important piece of it. Like I remember my mom, who was a stay-at-home mom for much of my youth. She started working when I was in high school, but like a lot of her time and effort was spent on like, what's dinner going to be? Like, hours and hours before it was actually dinner time, you know, she would be thinking about what meal is she going to prepare. And I have so much respect for my mom for that. Like that was so important to her. It was her way of, you know, showing us love and care. And I have so much respect for that. But it also led to this kind of overemphasis on food. Like, I think that the other thing that would come up with my mom specifically is, you know, if we were kind of, I don't know if rowdy is a good word, if we were kind of irritable or not in a good mood, food was the answer to that. It's like, oh, you must be hungry. You know, you must not have eaten a full meal. You must not have eaten a snack. So in my childhood growing up, I think food was just given a lot of significance and it was given a role that it is meant to help and cure lots of things. And I didn't realize that this was messaging that I received as a child. I just kind of grew up thinking that this is just the way that it works. And I would say many families from, I think, not just India or not just South Asia, but around the world have this kind of relationship with food. And I would say it's only, you know, for the past few years since becoming a weight loss coach that I have been re-examining a lot of the things that I learned as a kid, because I'm teaching my kids a little bit differently. I mean, to my mom does not love it. She's like, really? Like, where's all the, like, tell me about all the meals. Like, what are the kids eating? She like tries to come down on me for, you know, the way I'm feeding my kids. But I think it's such an important thing to explore. What are the thoughts? What are the relationships that you had when you were growing up? And where are you maybe overemphasizing the role that food should be playing in our life.
So it's really interesting because whenever we think about like a holiday or a celebration, the usual conversation is, well, what are we going to eat?
Yep.
Right. And certain holidays, right? And this could be, yes, a cultural thing and also a non-cultural thing, but like, let's just say Thanksgiving, right? Like we celebrate Thanksgiving. So there's like a certain set menu for Thanksgiving, right? So we have that for different things that we celebrated. And we knew that that was the biggest part of celebration, even though, yes, the gathering part of it, the connecting part of it was probably what we valued truly, but it was centered around everyone eating. Right. Oh, yeah. And obviously
talking about the menu yes. can like, it's like one way it's like, and this is not to, again, my intention is not to like de-signify this, cause I know that it's so important, but it's like a time fill.
Yeah.
If you had to challenge yourself, I would be like, this is such a good exercise. If you couldn't just talk about the menu at the cultural event or at the restaurant you're going to, what are all of the other things that you would talk about? And I would say for a lot of us, when you like maybe don't have the closest relationship with some of the people you're going to be hanging out with, maybe food is like the quote unquote easy conversation piece because you feel awkward. It's like, well, what else are we going to, if we don't talk about this,
well, it's like
what
the weather.
Talk about? Like, imagine like, you challenged yourself to find something else to talk about if it wasn't going to be the menu.
I think a lot of it has to do with like, generally speaking, women, especially that generation, was tied to their contribution was related to the food, right? Like, you know, our worth is related to the food. I make this dish very good. Everyone likes it. Look at how much time and effort I put into making this for everyone. Mm-hmm. And then we like to be praised for it. And I'm not saying it's a they thing, like even us, like, there's times when we're like, oh, I made all this effort to make this thing for my family. Yeah. And mind you, they could be like, especially my little one would be like, I don't want it.
Oh my God. This pile, can I tell you, this has happened. So, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm turning into my mom without meaning to turn into my mom. And again, like this has happened so many times. We've been trying to cook a variety of cuisines, like Indian food. We're trying to be more intentional about bringing in like foods from our home country and then for my husband, South Indian foods, but also like, you know, Thai food and Chinese food and Mexican, like different foods. I cannot tell you, there was a meal we had, it was last weekend, and I was like, I'm going to do this the way my mom used to do it. I got all into it. I even called my mom for the recipe. I wrote it down, which again, this is not my usual style. I wrote the whole thing down. I had all the ingredients. I bring it out and I'm like kind of like a da-da-da-da feeling. Like, I was so, like, you know, pat on the back. I'm like patting myself on the back. I'm like, look at me being such a good mom, wholesome food. My mom would be so proud of me. My son had his feet on the table. My daughter is like not even a care in the world. She's just running around the living room, like not even paying attention. And I remember myself feeling just like, seriously, after all of this, this is the thanks I get. Like this is, but it's just so interesting because I think that we start to conflate wanting to feel recognized and appreciated for our efforts as moms with food. Like you better eat this food. You better clean your plate because do you know how much effort I put into making this food for you?
Can you tell me what you made? Now I need to know.
I made pav bhaji.
Oh my God, that takes forever.
Well, here's why it takes forever. Now I have now discovered a way that you can make it all in the Instant Pot. So it's actually, you know, that part is fast.
Yeah.
But the amount of vegetables that I put in, the chopping that I had to do, and right now we're renting our home, and the home we're renting has, the kitchen is really, really tiny. So I have like 1 foot of counter space. So I'm like chopping one vegetable at a time and then I have to clean the whole thing and then get the next vegetable. So
yeah.
Well, maybe should not have taken the regular person. It took me quite a lot.
Time. That it takes a long time. My mom is a total pav bhaji snob. And for those of you guys who don't know what it is, it's like pav means bread and bhaji means some kind of like vegetable curry, but it's like made over hours and it has a lot of vegetables in it and has spices. So my mom is from Mumbai And she's a total snob about it. So like we
all to come try my pav haji now.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
So good. I was like, oh my God, mommy, should open up a restaurant. Like you're so good. But anyways, yes, it is something that we probably were like, wow, delicacy. And like your kids saw it and they're like, what's this big glob of red stuff that we're eating
and
bread?
They might even like it. But I think what used to happen, the purpose of me sharing that story was, I know that what I wanted to do reflexively and what used to happen with me is like, oh wait, I put so much effort to preparing this. I used to, and still sometimes do, is like, if you don't eat it, you're not recognizing the love and the effort I put in. And so that's what I mean. Like we start giving food this role. We start like forcing our children to eat the food as their way of showing to us, like, be grateful for how much effort I put in. And I think it just teaches the wrong message to children, and it changes, like, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts around how some of that messaging, forcing children to eat when they don't want to eat something because they should, you know, either out of gratefulness because somebody else is hungry in another part of the world, because I've put all this effort in, it just kind of perverts our relationship with our body. Children are, again, unless children are diagnosed with failure to thrive or they have some type of a medical condition, children are really aware of their bodies. They will tell you when they're hungry. They'll tell you when they're not. I think sometimes we just kind of get out of the practice of forcing them to eat, either when it's convenient for us or because we think that they should.
Okay, I do this every day. And I'll tell you why, because I'm tired. And I'm a morning person. Okay. Like I start my coaching at 6 a.m. So I just want to say this. And so by 5 p.m., like I'm like, let's close shop soon. Right. So like dinner's out, like whatever. And it's not necessarily complicated. It's just dinner's out. I want to clean up and move on to the next thing. Right. My thing is, and guys, you guys, I don't even remember, I'm a pediatrician, I'm an integrative doc. So I know all those things that, you know, I talk to you guys about, but it's like, what do you do when, and this is a conversation, I think it's fun to know, when there is a meal that was prepared, which is, has all the different food groups. Okay. I don't want to use the word healthy, has different food groups, right? But then they don't want to eat that then, not because they're not hungry. It's because they don't want that food, right? And then once you're cleaning up, they're like, I'm hungry. And it's, they're hungry.
The perpetual, yes. The daily struggle, I think, for every mom.
Yes, exactly. It's like, they're hungry for like the snacks, right? And I'm very careful to use words like snacks instead of unhealthy and healthy here. But they want to go and get the trail mix. They want to go and get, and in my home, and I'll just be honest, you guys, especially being an integrative pediatrician, like, and we're vegetarian in our house. So, and we love organic, like we're all about it. I don't keep a lot of foods, which I think aren't nourishing to their bodies in the home. They have them, but like they can have them anywhere, right? So whatever stuff that's in the pantry, it's not like a problem. It's just those are foods we keep for like lunch boxes and things like that. So what are your thoughts about that?
So I wish that there was a one size fits all magic bullet answer. And there isn't, unfortunately. I think that as moms, we have to learn how to trust our own intuitive gut on what is going to best, what we want our family dynamic to be around food and snacks. I'm going to share with you what I do, but I want, if you're listening to this, take it with through the lens of your real life and how you want it to fit in for you. So I don't villainize any food, and I'm a weight loss coach. I don't villainize the pirate's booty or the ice cream or the dum-dum lollipops for my kids or for myself. But I also know about the science of how these foods impact my body. My children don't know this. They're five and eight. So they don't fully know the science of how certain foods impact their body, and they don't need to because I know. So what I really like to do is I talk about everything with my kids when it comes to food as scientifically as possible. I talk to them in a way so there's no judgment. Like you were saying, it's not good food or bad food, but I talk about the nutrition that they're feeding their body. So I like to talk a lot about our bodies are growing. Our bodies want to thrive. They want to be so strong so we can run and play and have all kinds of fun outside. What are the ways that we want to be treating our body? And the three ways that I talk about treating our bodies is sleep, getting plenty of water, and of course the nutrients for feeding it. So my daughter is, she's a good example. She's on a big Pirate's Booty kick. She loves a good Pirate's Booty. And listen, I mean, so do I. I love a good Pirate's. I mean, any cheddar, anything. It's like my favorite flavor of everything. So she will come home nowadays from school and she will say, "Mommy, I want some Pirate's Booty." Perfect example. I'm like, okay, well, we're not going to do the Pirate's Booty right now, but can you bring it? She'll, and I'll have her bring out her lunchbox. And lo and behold, which by the way, gets Pirate's Booty every day for lunch. The nuts that I've put in her lunchbox are uneaten. So she has, and even though she loves peanuts, she loves pistachios, she will always eat the Pirate's Booty. She'll leave the nuts. So here she's asking for more Pirate's Booty, but she hasn't eaten the nuts on her plate. So what I like to do, and again, this is the lens of what feels good for me with my kids, is I'm like, you know what? I know you love a good Pirate's Booty. Me too. But we want to make sure our body is getting enough nutrients. So if your body is hungry, here are the foods that I'm going to be offering to you. The peanuts, the pistachios, the fruit. We want to make sure we're giving our body nutrients. Plenty of time for Pirate's Booty. I promise there's going to be more in your lunchbox tomorrow. So it's almost like I don't leave it so open-ended. I'm the one that's deciding the roadmap. I'm the one that's keeping decisions clear. So again, and notice how I'm not villainizing it. I'm not like, Pirate's Booty is so bad for you. Like it's not healthy. None of that. It's like plenty of time for it. It'll be in your lunchbox tomorrow. But we want to do nutrition right now. Go ahead. Yeah.
Pirate's Booty is not a problem, right? Especially like I'm talking like a pediatrician. I'm like, that is not a problem. And I think Priyanka is also vegetarian too, right? Yep. So like this kind of like we're giving options like with nuts and hummus and all that kind of stuff. So what I found helpful is like being like, these are the two choices, right? And this is true for like everything else. Like these are the two outfits. These are the, you know, the different things. Yep. And or more choices you get to decide depending on the age of your child and be like, what do you guys think? And what's been really helpful, and I think you would like this. So my kids are 11 and 9 now, is like we like make the menu for the week together.
I think children really feel empowered by that.
Also, it brings them into like all the effort that it takes to create a meal, right? And so I love bringing my kids in the kitchen. So yes, they cook with me, but also they bake with me. And that's when I'm like, oh, it's fine to bake because baking is usually involves flour and sugar. Right. And I love baking. I love baking and then giving it away also, but we also eat it. My whole thing is I want them to be there from the beginning to the end. So they get to see the time and effort it takes to create something. Right. And so now we all actually, cause we're in LA, obsessed with like gardening. Right. So my little guy, he has like three mango plants that he got from the seed. He's doing something outside. He's in my greenhouse that we just got from Costco. And like, I love that they know how that works. Now, this is not to be like, well, you should know where the food comes from. It really is like, you have the power to create this life.
And also I think one interesting piece of this, and this is speaking to, you know, you wanting to close the kitchen kind of vibe at a certain time is like, why should they always be going on our schedule?
Yeah.
I want to challenge every mom and listen, before you like throw the tomatoes at me, I really think this is so important. I know how, especially working moms want their time. You want to be able to close, you know, close out, get the kids to bed so you can kind of have the you time that you've been kind of craving all day after going and taking care of everyone and everything else. The thing that used to irritate me the most is my son at 9 o'clock at night will be like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, really? We just had a whole dinner. Kitchen is fully clean. I wish you were in bed 30 minutes ago because like, you know, Friday Night Lights and Outlander is waiting for me on Netflix. Like I'd be so irritated with him that first of all, it created a complete disconnect with him in the moment. I would snap, usually be snippy with him and snap at him. Like, how dare he ask for a night snack at 9 o'clock? It just created a terrible experience for me as his mom. And I want to share like the shift I have made around that. I have stopped expecting that my kids have to operate on my schedule. Like I might want the kitchen closed at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. You know, you might want that. And also, what would it be like to respect the fact that they may not be operating on your schedule? Like, what if it wasn't so all or nothing, right? So one end of the spectrum is like, they have to follow my rules 100% when kitchen clothes, that's respecting me, respecting dinner time. And then the other end of the spectrum is like, we have no rules at all, no boundaries at all. And it's like, you know, a free, whatever you want to do, you just do. I feel like there's always a third road. And if we do the work of discovering that third road, it creates so much more harmony and alignment as moms to children that are not always on our schedule. So the way we do it is like, this is dinner time. This is our main meal that we're getting our nutrients. And also at 9 o'clock, I've discovered he really likes to have a night snack when he reads his book. So I'm like, we get to pick carrots or cucumbers. I'm going to give you some hot tea. Mm. It's just becoming, it's when he says, mom, at 9 o'clock, I want a night snack. I stop fighting him. I'm like, of course you do. Like, you really love to have something when you're reading your book. I don't have to fight with him on that anymore. Can I tell you, not fighting with him on that and just be like, oh, do you want cucumbers or carrots? What's your choice tonight? It has saved me hours of frustration. We're actually going to sleep earlier because I'm not fighting with him. He goes to sleep so much more like contentedly because his desire is being met. It's just been a game changer. So I just want to like give everyone that seed of possibility to challenge your rules. Like, if your kids are not operating on your schedule, so what? Mm-hmm. Like, who says that they have to operate in your schedule? Like, you can still create boundaries and certain guidelines, but like, what would it look like to find the third road?
So the part that I heard was, when my son is asking for a snack at 9 p.m., I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to them after 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Game over, right? Yeah. So this is part of like the work that I do with like healthy sleep and for, yeah. And I guess a lot of my work is based on like, I have all these women who are overachievers, over sacrificing, and really putting themselves last. So they're already doing all these things. And so by stepping, creating boundaries and being like, okay, after this point, so I say this, I'm like, after 8 o'clock, mommy clocks out, right? Mm-hmm. You can be in your room reading, right? Mm-hmm. You can whatever. And then lights will be out by 8:30, whatever. So mine are 11 and nine. I've had 7:30 bedtime for like the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I don't, it's yes, part of it is routine and all that stuff. The other part is resting their bodies, because in the morning, like I could tell, like if they got enough rest, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell it like in a second if they didn't get good sleep. I totally feel the truth of that. And I think at the same time, I think that this is, again, the nuance, right? Like, how can we create certain rules and boundaries and structures and routine, but also practice flexibility? Like, if I want my children to be flexible with me, if I want my children to hear me and to see me and to respect me, I have to go first. Like, I know that that's not the very, like, at least that's not how I was raised. Like, you know, my parents, I was raised like, you respect your parents, you respect your elders. That's just where it starts. But I want to challenge that. Like, I want to model to them what it is like to respect them and hear them and see them. That doesn't mean that they get to walk all over me and run the house to the ground. I get to have the rules. And also, it's just one of those, and also, like, both can be true, that if I modeled flexibility to them, if I modeled, you know, respecting how they feel about something, I think that it will pay back in dividends in our relationship.
And I love that. I love how you said that. That's so good. I love how you said that. It's fun that we're having this conversation. Like, guys, we did not plan what we were going to say.
I know.
And she's giving her what she's doing. I'm giving my, and our kids are different ages, you know, mm-hmm. like a lot of it.
My kids are smaller, so they can't go and do the things by themselves like yours can.
Yeah. But also like our after school looks very different too, right? So like music, band, taekwondo, basketball starting soon, right? And all of these things, like I am not about overscheduling at all, but I let them like do one thing at a time and then one instrument. And so I've understood that when I am well rested and I am fed, right? Because even that, like I remember like eating last all the time. And so now I'm like, I'm hungry and I'm going to eat, and my body digests food better when I eat earlier, especially as you get older. It's a true thing. And so like the more I love on me, which is really counterintuitive, I think culturally speaking, that it'll be better for my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get to see that it's okay. Like mom's just going to sit and eat. Sometimes that's okay. Like I love to have family meals. And also sometimes we're on the go and I'm Uber mom between things. And so Friday night, I think weekends are much easier for us, but Friday night we start with like a picnic. And I normally wouldn't say, oh, screen time and food, but we started this in COVID where we do like a plastic cloth that goes on the ground. We move the ottoman out of the way and we pick a movie, which that itself is a whole different episode of how we determine what movie is watched, because I have also my things that I want to be like, I don't want to watch something that's fighting or animated or whatever. And then we like put out our meal, right? And it's usually like a charcuterie, like, you know, with like some kind of veggies and hummus or something, all Trader Joe's kind of stuff. And I think that having a balance of, yes, the reality of our culture is now kids do activities after school. And also we have the other time and I get to simplify my life so that I'm not spending hours planning it and there's leftovers. And I just ask myself, is protein, veggie, you know, if you're hungry, dessert as fruit too. By the way, I love chocolate and Priyanka knows I love chocolate. Like every time we hang, I'm like, what's for dessert? And I'm okay with that. Like, I love that we like chocolate, but this summer we learned how to make ice cream from scratch. And I love sitting with them and be like, hey, what do you want to make? And we go through, they research it. We get all the ingredients. They go through the entire 2-day process of making it. Yeah, go for it. Eat it, right? Not just I opened up a package. You know? But that's kind of my core value I want to put into their hearts and souls is like the power to create and the power to destroy.
Yeah. Right. You know what's interesting, Payal? I'm curious whether you've done this because you know, we talk about the, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the model or that our thoughts, you know, create our feelings and our feelings create our actions. One of the things that I've been doing, which reminds me a little bit of what you were sharing with having the kids be involved in the kitchen with you when you're cooking or baking, is what I like to tell them is what is the result I want? What is the result that's important to me in our relationship or for them? And I tell them why, like, for example, like with your growing bodies, I just tell them the result. I'm like, you know, what's really important to me as your mom who loves you so much is that you have healthy growing bodies that are strong, that can go out and have fun. Like I really paint a picture of what result I want for them. And then I invite them to create the action line together. Like, I wonder what are all the ways that we could do that? Here's what I think. I mean, talk about the getting them on board. At least with my kids, when they're involved in creating the plan, they are so much all in on just doing it. So you're not nagging them for every single little thing. Like, I wonder what are all the things that we could do to make this happen? Here's what I think. I think sleeping enough, getting the right nutrients, I think that would do. What do you think? And then they'll say some crazy things. Like, both my kids will throw out some like crazy nonsense. I'm like, that sounds amazing. Let's add that into the plan. It's this collaborative relationship where, again, they're feeling seen and heard. And also, like, whenever they're putting up a fight to go to sleep on time or to eat foods in a way that will serve their bodies, I'm like, remember that plan we came up with? It was so good. We did that together. It's just so different. I just love it.
This whole process, like this whole journey being a parent, I'm constantly checking myself, right? I'm constantly pausing and reinventing and picking new core values and picking new philosophies. But part of what I do want to say, and especially if you're listening and you're like, oh my God, I don't do what they do, or oh no, like I just give them whatever, you know, it's not a problem, right? Like all of this, like shaming yourself or feeling guilty is actually never going to help you move the needle forward, right? Yeah, you've been doing the best you could, right? And also today you get to decide something new and different. Like maybe I'll be like, all right, guys, like you guys don't feel hungry, you know, and it's dinner time. Cool. But guess what? I'm going to put this plate out on your spot. And when you get hungry, you can eat. And when you're done, you can rinse a plate and put in the dishwasher. Like exactly. My kids are old enough to do that.
But that's exactly the kind of strategy that I would employ.
Yeah.
Like rather than having to eat at 5 o'clock, just because I know that my body feels better eating early, I'm like honoring their like helping them honor their body signals, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, without it being more burden for you,
yeah,
like without it taking
you
up more
have
for
to
you.
take, you have to love on you, you have to protect you. I'm gonna tell you, my kids are the opposite. They start like, I'm hungry at 4:45 because they came home from Taekwondo and there's and they need to take a shower. And by the way, they smell at this point. And I'm like, and they smell that I've been making something. So like they think they're like starving and haven't had a meal. And so they're like, I need to eat it right now. Right. And I'm like, calm down. When you get back in 15 minutes, like it will be ready and on mm-hmm. the table. So I think we're playing with like the 5 o'clock thing. I got used to because of them. Cause they want to eat. Like, I think they get really excited about like that time together. So this is going to be kind of interesting when they're, as they get older, and you'll notice too, like how the dynamic changes, how the family dynamic changes. And then I have two kids who have very different eating styles. So my older one, he's 11, Arjun, is like complete, you know, tasty boy. He loves Indian food. Like he's like spicier. He's like, bring on the spicy version of everything. He likes Thai. He loves sushi, all the things. He likes like all the veggie meat, all that stuff, right? My little one, the king of mac and cheese, which mind you, he never gets mac and cheese. Like it's rare. Like we actually have mac and cheese in the house, but like, it's too spicy for me. He's like, turmeric is spicy. I'm like, that's not a thing. Exactly. Yes. My kids are very smart and very creative. And you know how you're like, oh, like, let's come up with the plan. My little guy's like, yeah, I looked in this human body book and I researched it. And so like
I love vitamin it so D, much.
Like, so to grow muscles, like mm-hmm. this is what you need. Like, so they're at a different level.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I'm learning to be more patient with them yeah. because until now it's kind of been like, they believe whatever I say.
Right.
And now they're like, well,
which
I saw
so Wikipedia. Nice when they do. My 8-year-old is already challenging me on things and he's so smart. So he will like know things that I don't know the answer. Like I won't know. And I'm like, my daughter still believes every single thing.
Yeah,
I say.
She's
so
little.
I'm lapping that up while I can. She's yeah. only 5. And she just like, she believes every single thing I say, which I just love. My son has always challenged me, but it's so it's listen, being a mom is no joke. It's
no,
hard. It's hard.
Not at all. It's like a constant, like it's like a it's an institution in a way, right? Like you get like a PhD and then no matter what you do, it doesn't actually always reflect on the outcome, right? Like, cause they are in charge of their own journeys. And like culturally speaking, like even that concept, like my parents are like, what do you mean? If you study, you work hard, become a doctor, all good. And I was like,
I like how you broke out the accent just now.
Yeah, I had to.
I heard you break
out. I had to. My mom's gonna be like, why do you say it like that? But
I mean, there's so many things that our parents have, you know, even to this day. Like when I made the decision to stop practicing medicine as an OBGYN and to become a full-time entrepreneur and coach, my parents were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Are you bananas crazy? Like, what are you talking about? And I have to say, like, you know, because we, you know, the big people in our life held so much significance for us as children, it's no surprise if you second guess yourself based on what they say. I think that what we're getting to do together as coaches for our clients, but also what we get to model to our children as moms is, what if we could just have our own back? Like you make a decision, you take action. If it doesn't work out, like, okay, we're going to figure this one out together. You don't have to ever like live in fear just because my parents said I should do the safer option. I should do this like quote unquote better option. Like I feel like it just keeps us living so small.
Yeah. And I think that especially our generation, and I like to kind of want to close with this is like, you know, we have that concept of sandwich generation and people are like, mm-hmm. you're caring for your elders and your children. Yeah. I really believe we're in this immigrant sandwich generation where we're trying to fuse the culture from what we grew up with the new culture that our kids are growing up with and the one that we experience. Right. And it's not, I don't take this job lightly at all. So do you have any final remarks, Priyanka?
I think that we're navigating, especially just, I mean, my parents grew up in India. I was the first one born here. And I think that we have an opportunity to pave a new road. And it might not be a responsibility that you wanted. Like, you didn't get to choose that. You were the first one born in this country, or the first generation, maybe even in this country. You didn't get to choose it, but here we are. So what if we just kind of got to pave our own way of being moms, of really incorporating our culture, some of the things that were important to us growing up, but also be willing to challenge some of the old ways, even if it does feel uncomfortable, just because you know that you want something different for your kids. I think that that helps you heal generational trauma, like, you know, thoughts that have really been passed down from generation to generation. I think that that's a real thing. And it's okay if it takes time. And if you don't do it perfectly, that's fine too.
Because there is no perfect way to do it, right? There's no like rule book on this. And I think it's so important to give yourself that grace. So guys, thank you so much, Priyanka, for being here. I'm going to put all her info in the show notes. Remember, guys, this is her second episode with me. She was here last time. She shared all the things. We'd love to hear from you guys. And if you think that you want to learn more from either one of us, reach out to us. We love when people reach out to us and ask us questions or want us to like talk to them about their lives, right? This is part of our joy and why we decided to live this second career, right? Who knows? Like, there's just so many opportunities for all of us. So, all right, you guys have a lovely day. Thanks, Priyanka.
Thanks. Bye.
Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, www.payalghail.com. That's PayalGhail, and join my list. I can't wait to meet you.